Today is National Day. I was wondering, so many passages go through my mind on National Day. Let's turn, all right, to Ezekiel chapter 3. Ezekiel chapter 3. And let's stand as we read verse 16 to verse 19. Ezekiel 3, verse 16 to 19. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 16 to 19. I'll read verse 16, then you'll read verse 17, and so on until verse number 19. The Bible reads for us in Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 16, "And it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying," verse 17, "When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his sins, in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand." Verse 19, let's read together. "Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wicked ways, nor his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered my soul." It's a word of prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for SG50. Lord, we pray for our nation. We pray for our president, our prime minister. We pray, Lord, for those people who are entrusted with the solemn duty of leading and protecting and providing and to discuss policies that will influence the direction of the country. Lord, we pray that you will continue to bless our leaders, giving them your heavenly wisdom, that we might live our life in peace and honesty and godliness, and to fulfill your will, Lord, that people might come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ. So, Lord, we commit this hour into your hands as we reflect on your word in Ezekiel. We pray, Father, you will speak to us in a special way. And Father, if there's one person who do not know Christ as their personal Savior, I pray your love, Lord, will be demonstrated so clearly through the preaching of your word. Thy Holy Spirit will impress on all of our hearts what a privilege it is to be your citizen of heaven, and also what you've given to us in Singapore. Help us never to take this for granted, Lord. But in the message, I pray you speak to us in a special way with regards to our duty, so that we can honor you first of all. Well, thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Okay. If anyone needs Bibles, we do have some just to follow. We follow the King James Bible. All right, believe that there should be uniformity. Just in case. Shall I just put here? Okay. Today is a National Day. Looking at Ezekiel, I just want to highlight certain things from Ezekiel and how it relates to our country, and what are the things we need to do. Okay, the prophet Ezekiel was called by God to be a prophet to the nation of Israel. Okay, he was a prophet, nation of Israel. Israel was in national apostasy, meaning they were backslided from God. They were just not doing what God told them to do. It's been a long time, and God had to send his prophet to tell them that. They've gone under other gods. They were involved in spiritual adultery and perversion of every kind. And once again, the nation of Israel has fallen into disobedience and rebellion. Even after time of chastisement from God, they always turn back to their old ways. You know, in the nation of Israel, the prophet gave the Israelites of the picture, the reality of a holy God. But sadly, in contrast, the nation sinks further and further into sin and idolatry. Now, what relevance is that to our National Day? Singapore has been prosperous by the grace of God. How many of us are born before Singapore was born? Before 1965, lah. Yeah? These are the pioneer generation. Okay? You probably saw how it was in the early days. In the early days, we had the Singapore currency lower than the Malaysian currency. And then later on, it began to be the same. Then later on, the shopkeepers say, you cannot use your Malaysian currency anymore because Singapore's economy has grown. We were prosperous. And last time, I still remember, noodles was how much? 20 cents. 15 cents. Okay.
Okay, he's older than me, so.
Okay. One cup of drink is like 10 cents or 1 cent. I can't remember those days. 1 cent was still very valuable. Today, one drink is $1. We've grown. Okay, we're prosperous. We'll move from a third world nation to a first world nation in 50 years. That is no mean feat. You know what? As we reflect, we want to thank God for the people that have made it happen. Of course, the leaders had good vision and foresight. But you know, the people also worked very hard. They worked very, very hard for every cent to save. And you know, young people, don't blame your older generation who say, you need to save. Don't anyhow spend. Because they came from a generation where things were not too much. They had very little. Singapore has been prosperous by the grace of God. We have wonderful earthly leaders with good vision and foresight and great executive ability. I don't know about you, but every time I reflect on the leaders we have, sometimes we can complain about our government. Everyone does. There are certain things we probably won't like about our government. But if I'm not wrong, it is stated that under the leadership of whoever that is, I mean, PAP and all the leaders that were his lieutenants, you know, our GDP jumped 27 times in 50 years. Our GDP is the highest in the world. And it is said, I shared before, that our GDP is right now about 70,000 Sing, I believe. And up to 2050, our GDP, if things remain the same, will be 155,000 Singapore dollars. It means everyone in Singapore will earn that every year. Of course, your houses will be $1 million now, you know, HDB, you know, with the increase. But you know, our GDP is one of the highest in the world. In fact, the highest. Our standard of living is high. Now, just thinking of people like Asher, you know, he will be probably, Lord willing, nothing happens, he'll celebrate SG100. Right? You know, but we in Singapore have all the blessings, efficient transport system. I know people immediately say, no, the MRT has been breaking down. Okay. MRTs do break down, you know, cars do break down. But I think they are trying to invest lots to make it. But, you know, the buses come quite regularly. We have lots more buses. And our systems is efficient. And our government has put in a lot of effort to ensure that systems are trying to be clean. We have corrupt practices, investigation bureau to ensure processes are clean. We have a credible police force. We have a credible armed forces. And today there will be a massive display of our might. We develop our own military equipment where Singapore sells to other countries now. Did you know that? Our Singapore technologies, we have our own, I think the Bronco or those arms, and they're selling to other countries. These are all widely known, you know. In Singapore has been, we have F-16s, we have Apache, these are the attack helicopters, attack planes. Why would a small country want, you know how fast the F-16 flies? You know, less than 2 minutes, we're already out of our F-base. Now, of course, our government has always said we cannot, if we cannot defend what we have, then it's not ours. And we have a critical military, Air Force, and Navy to protect us. And I'm a firm believer in our armed forces. There are people in there that are dedicated to the protection and the defense of Singapore. Okay, and these are people who I worked with. I'm just an NS man. One time I was just there drawing, you know. And we had generals and they were committed and they were planning and they were doing things which to ensure the survival and the security of Singapore. Every time we say, do you realize after 9/11, you know, the police and the military personnel will patrol without fail, and it's not stopped since 2003. Have not stopped. For the last 12 years, they have just been patrolling. You know, we'll fall asleep. It sounds like a mundane task, right? Just keep going, you know why? You know why is it going? The security of They go around on a regular basis so that we can sleep in peace at night. Amen. God has put in all these things for Singapore to build us to a point. But no, Singapore has a problem. You know the problem Singapore has? God is excluded on the agenda. God is excluded in the agenda. We exclude the God of heaven in everything, in our education system. Our education system is a godless system. Yes, they have good subjects, but they are a godless system. A system that will not encourage children to grow up to love God. It's not just in Singapore, but in all the countries represented here, whether in Hong Kong, whether in the Philippines. Thank God there's some Christian education there, whether in America. Yeah, America should be a forerunner, or rather a strong country in Christian education. But if not wrong, in certain states, you've got to fight. As a church, you've got to go to court to fight for the right to have Christian education. Because you're rejected. It's a godless system, even in Singapore. If you look at the practical side, yes, we are one of the best educational systems in the world. But when you look at the spiritual side, we have many scholars that are bankrupt morally. In the things that have happened in Singapore, educational scholars going to England, getting themselves in sin and coming back shamed, in pornography shamed. And some of you may know of an MOA scholar who got involved in pornography in England and was caught, came back. You know what happened to him? The parents had to sell the house to pay off the scholarship. Brilliant here, empty here. The abortion laws in Singapore, abortion was legalized in 1969. And during that time, they had very strict rules about abortion. You can only abort a baby. It must be by a registered medical practitioner and was only permitted on purely medical grounds. Okay? Under the Act, when abortion was immediately necessary to save the life or to prevent grave permanent injury to the physical and mental health of the pregnant woman, and it must be registered. Today, people want abortion at will. Yeah, they go through counseling, they are shown horrible pictures. But you know what? Our hospitals are just legal child sacrifice platforms. The casino, when we first started, we say no to casino. But now, we need to be practical. We've changed. Today I was reading, there's a professor from our university who wrote an article about how she accepted her two sons as gay. And it's interesting, I was reading the article because she was quite taken aback when the sons confronted her. She was quite taken aback and she asked her sons, how do you know that you're gay? Son didn't answer. Son threw back a question. How do you know you're straight? And the son's answer changed her mind. You know that's scary? When you will throw out what is right just because of someone's perversion. We have moved away from what is right to be practical about things to the point of disregarding what God said in the first place. Does it make sense? When the mom asks, how do you know you're gay? The onus is on the son, the burden of proof is on the son to prove why he's thinking that way. Because God intended in Genesis 1:27, God made male and female. That is God's pattern. The burden of proof is not on the mom, but on the child to prove, why are you thinking in a perverted way? But you know what? Oh, is it? Mom, how do you know you're straight? Parents, you better know why you are straight. You are straight because God said so, and because that is how God intended this world to be. For the safety, for the clean morality. You know, do you realize if this LGBT movement will take root in Singapore, Very soon, you will have to teach father and father, mother and mother. And the child will come back from school, how come I got a father and mother? How come not father and father? And they begin to challenge the very fabric of family. That's what's happening in Singapore. Our PM rightly said, this LGBT issue is a fault line. And I think he's just referring to the social aspects. But can I tell you, this is a spiritual fault line. Parents, you are going to fight a battle in your minds of your children, because your children are going to be indoctrinated by the world to say LGBT is okay. No, it's not. And God proved it by destroying Sodom and Gomorrah immediately. And it's not because they were inhospitable, like some people would tell us. Sodom and Gomorrah is a strong warning from God that when you pervert my ways, you will not escape. And God destroyed the whole city. And make no mistake, that's why we call them sodomites. People who practice the alternative gay lifestyle, which is against God. You know the amount of murders that are happening in Singapore, headless bodies found in the canals and just rampant, and I don't know about you, it's getting a bit scary to go out at night. Although Singapore, I don't know, there was one time, less crime doesn't mean no crime. But you know what, it's getting a bit scary. You know, there's radicalism as well, the Islamic, the ISIS, that is so scary all over the world. And we have Singaporeans arrested who has been radicalized. And we have those who stay in Yishun. I don't know whether you remember, there was one time, I think it was the CIA, who was viewing some videos of Afghanistan that was taken, and they found a video of the Yishun MRT. And praise God, our ISA moved to arrest the people, and they actually rented a flat just opposite, and they were taking photos, and they were planning the attack on Yishun MRT because American troops will come off. They live in around this area, and so they will actually stop at Yishun MRT, and then after that, they will take a bus back, and they were planning the attack. They were all planned out to attack Yishun MRT. All about you, I'll be scared. Praise God for our defense forces who are, you know, our defense forces work night and day to ensure our security. But you know, the sin that's coming in, the influence that's coming in is huge. The Bible says, Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. The only way that Singapore is going to maintain this for the next 50 years is because of righteousness. Doing things God's way. I was just reflecting, I don't believe our government rejects Christian. All our government wants is equal for all. They want a society that's secular, but you know, you want to practice Christianity, go ahead. We won't stop you. Of course, some rules may actually stop us. But I don't believe our government outright wants to stop Christianity. But it's because of trying to maintain peace and harmony is always that problem for them. We need to pray for the freedom so that we can keep preaching the gospel. We need to pray for our government. But history everywhere confirms this principle. Listen, it is not the numerical number. It is not whether a country has lots of weapons. It's not whether the political will and political leaders are strong. That is important, but it's not that. It's not how intellectual the whole group of country people are, although it does help. It doesn't mean that a nation is great because of its civilization. The only reason a nation is great is because of righteousness. The Bible says righteousness exalteth a nation. You know, I thank God, at least our leaders had enough sense to support Israel. Those of you remember in 1988, when Prime Minister Herzog wanted to visit Singapore, there were big problems. But you know what? Our Prime Minister said, come. We praise God that God says, I will bless them that bless you and curse them that curse you. You know why we have freedom today? I believe that at least our leaders have enough sense to support the right people. Our defense forces were trained by the Israelis. We thank God for that. But you know what? The Bible in the next verse says, but sin is a reproach to any people. As much as we have peace today, it may not be here tomorrow because of an increase in unrighteousness. Even in churches. You know, when God actually protects a nation, you know who does God look to? God doesn't look to our spiritual leader. God doesn't look to our government. Do you know what? Because God looks to our churches. The spiritual condition of churches is one of the biggest factors why God will bless a country or why God will curse a country. Mark it down. The next generation of people like Ethan, the younger people around here, Asher, those people who are growing up, you are going to be the next spiritual leader who will determine whether SG500 will be worthwhile. It is frightening when you think of this. The true greatness of a nation is when a nation decides to conduct its policies and principles according to righteousness, according to holiness. I want us to look at Romans chapter 2, I believe it's there. Romans chapter 2, verse 2 and 3, 2, 3 to 6. I want you to put close attention to 5 and 6. You know, when I talk about LGBT, the casinos, the abortion, you know, Singapore has just kind of come to a place that people think right is wrong, wrong is right. In Romans 2, verse 5 and 6, after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. The Bible says the more as Christians, the more as a nation, we begin to harden ourselves about if it's sin, you know what you usually do when sin is getting too much? You just legalize it. You just legalize it. But the more, as Christians, we tolerate sin, we treasure up God's wrath. When the world or the nation gets worse and worse, spiritually, mark it down. According to God's word, judgment is coming. Yeah, we thank God for economic prosperity. But economic prosperity is no guarantee of a secure future. Only doing God's will. As a church, we need to be very clear. We have a big influence in the security of our nation by how we live our Christian lives. Okay? And this is something I want to highlight today. Even as the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 24, as he were in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. In the days of Noah, the spiritual state of the world was getting from bad to worse. They were getting married and everything was kind of normal. They were just getting married, they were giving in marriage, and everything was normal. They didn't know that judgment was coming. They didn't know. You know, SG50, we celebrate the Black Knights. The Black Knights, right? Is it a Black Knights? Black Knights, right? The Black Knights, the F-16 acrobatic display. We celebrate with now rather than just on National Day, we have the fireworks, and we have fireworks like 7th, 8th, 9th, I believe. Fireworks, huge. In fact, I'm told that in the Heartlands, there will be fireworks as well. Celebration. People are just enjoying themselves and Christians together. Nothing wrong with that, as long as we bear in mind the spiritual condition in which we live. That's simple. God actually said in Noah's time, Genesis verse 2, my spirit shall not always strive with men. The Bible actually tells us there comes a time when God gets sick of sin. He's got to do something about it. All along for hundreds of years, in fact, anyone who knows Enoch gave birth to Methuselah. And in Methuselah, it is said that when the time comes, Methuselah was the son of Enoch, and Methuselah was the only man who lived righteous in his generation. And God allowed him to have a child by the name of Methuselah, who lived. And what's significant about Methuselah? Anyone? Sorry? He's the oldest man who lived. He lived to be 969 years. Do you know why he's the oldest? Because of God's grace. Because God says the time that Methuselah died will be the time of my judgment. And God allowed Methuselah to live until he died. And then the judgment of the rain came. You know, God has a message for this sin-cursed, God-rejecting world. In your workplace, in your schools, in your colleagues, many of them not saved. God has a message for them. And God wants us to bring this message to them. I want us to notice three truths from this passage. God wants to be a watchman. Number one, our duty. What's our duty? to Singapore, as a Christian, to our family, to our church? What's our number one? God has called us to be watchmen. Son of man, Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 17, I made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Unto the house of Israel. The watchman's duty is to stay awake. It's to stay awake, alert, and raise the alarm when we see an approaching enemy or impending danger. The purpose is to ensure that the people in the city are informed ahead of time and be prepared and equipped to deal with the enemy that's coming. To preserve the security of the people, a watchman. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. This is the duty of every Christian, that we are the salt and the light of this world. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out, be trodden under foot of men. God has called us to be the salt. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye may call forth, ye may show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. It is essential that as believers, we realize our duty before God. And our duty is to be a watchman, to warn of impending danger. I'm sorry, Noah, but I have to warn them, okay? You can cry, it's okay. We need to warn people, because I don't know about you, I cannot understand how Christians can see an unsaved man dying, going to hell, and do nothing. I can't understand that. I can't understand the spiritual apathy in the world where, as believers, we know that the person who is sick will die and go to hell. I had a friend who was she claims to be a Christian, but when her grandma was dying, not saved, grandma died, and she was sharing, you know, she was in so much pain, I don't want to disturb her. And I was thinking in my heart, you don't understand what she's going to face after that. I can't understand. God called us to be watchmen. I can't understand Christians who see people without Christ and they do not pray for them, that they may come to Christ. God has called us to be watchmen. Two times in the Gospels, it is stated that Jesus cried. Did you know that? Two times. In the book of Luke, chapter 19, verse 41, as Jesus was walking and looking at Jerusalem, the Jesus said with tears, he wept. In John, chapter 11, 35, the Bible says Jesus wept two times. If you read the context of both, you know who Jesus was crying for? He was crying for the nation of Israel because they were rejecting him as Messiah. There are many people in Singapore who do not know Jesus Christ. There are people in your family who do not know Jesus Christ. Christians, are we concerned? Are we concerned? Mark 16, 15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. There was this lady by the name of Mammy Adams. Mammy Adams always went to a branch office in the town. You know, Mammy Adams always went there because the post office, this particular post office, all the workers were very, very friendly. Okay? And during Christmas one time, Mammy Adams would actually go and line up long queue just to get stamps. And one of her friends walked by and said, hey, why don't you just go to the dispensing machine? You know? Much easier, right? Why do you want to, like Singapore, right? You must have to do your banking online, you know, or do it from your phone. Why you want to line up? You know what Mammy Adams say? Yeah, I know, that'll be faster, but I'm willing to queue. So why you want to queue? Why waste your time with this hot sun and all that? Not hot sun, but it's cold because it's end of the year. You know what Mammy Adams say? Yeah, I can get the stamps at the machine, but the machine can't ask me how my arthritis have been. You know why she went there? Because someone cared enough to always ask her, how's your arthritis been? As a church, do we care enough? Or are we so concerned about ourselves that our loved ones or people around us do not see the light of Jesus Christ? We are called to be watchmen in Singapore. Bethel Baptist Church is supposed to be a light in the north. We thank God. We do have favor with some people, but we need to spread that favor even more. Not to expand ourselves, but to love people in Jesus' name and to bring them to a saving knowledge of Christ. Number one, God calls us to be watchmen. Number two, I want you to notice our message. The first one is God has called us to be watchmen. Notice our message in Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 17. Son of man, I'll make thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word of my mouth and give them warning from me. Give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, speaketh to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same man shall die in his iniquity. Notice secondly our message. You know what the message is? Three messages. Number one, there's a warning of coming judgment. There's a warning of coming judgment. Thou shalt surely die. That's a message, that thou shalt surely die. I need you to pay attention because it's so important. All of us are sinners in this. We've disobeyed our parents. We refuse to listen to them many times. That's sin. Disobedience is sin. When you reject the authority that God places over you, that's sin. And God says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The first message, we have a warning of coming judgment. Thou shalt surely die. When God promises, we can trust Him. But when God warns, we better take heed. Because God doesn't mean His words. God, in Acts chapter 17, verse 30, 31, you can take a look there. No one has to pay attention because some of us may be hearing this for the very first time. And God says in Acts chapter 17, verse 30, 31, and the times of this ignorance God winked at. In other words, you can say, Brother Johnny, I don't care. I just want to live my own life. I've never heard this before. I don't care. God says this time of this ignorance God winked at. But God right now says He has commanded all men everywhere to repent. Why? Because He has appointed a day which He will judge the world in righteousness. The warning from God is judgment is coming. Let me ask you, will non-believers ever read the Bible? Will they ever read the Bible? No. Do you know which Bible the non-believers will read? There's only one Bible they read. You know what Bible is that? The Bible of your life. You say you're a Christian? The non-believers will read the Bible of your life. If your Bible points to Christ, they'll follow Christ. But if your Bible points to the world and selfishness, they say, I'll just remain the same way I am because I'm selfish. I just think about myself. Romans 10:14, how shall they hear without a preacher? How do we share this warning of coming judgment? By our lives, by sharing the word of God with Christians. Christians, we need to share the word of God. And by doing so, we are warning the non-believers of the coming judgment on sin. That's why we go tracting and visitation every single week. Brother Johnny, is very tiring. I know it's tiring. I would that Ambassador Baptist Church will not cease in this work of reaching someone for Christ on a weekly basis. Because that is God's heart for a dying world. If we don't see that, we can have $1 million in our bank, but if our loved one dies and goes to hell, we can have all the things in this world. And we don't care whether this soul is going to see eternity in hell or in heaven because of his sin. What does it profit a man if he lives gain the whole world and yet lose his own soul? It's a warning of coming judgment. I'm thankful. I believe every one of us have that heart. I've seen people inviting friends and wanting to reach them. Praise God. You know what? Don't just look at your prayer. Why is my friend not accepting Christ? We need to pray. And some of you who has been coming on a regular basis, Do you know why you're still alive? Do you know why? Because God is still having mercy on you to keep you until the day you receive Christ. Don't presume upon God's grace. If I may use Mr. Ted, I saw him 2 weeks before he passed away. He was laughing. We were shocked when we heard news of his passing. Of course, he's 84 years old and all that. But you know what? The only thing we comfort our hearts is, praise God, he trusted Christ 15 years back. We'll see him again. Will you see your relatives again? Is it nothing to you that a soul would live forever in a place of no love? There is no love in hell, by the way. In a place you will never see the beauty of sunshine again. You will never smell the loveliness of a rose again. You will never see another person smile at you again. Forever and ever and ever. Is it nothing to you? Teenagers, is it nothing to you? Your disobedience and sin? Is it nothing to you? There's someone who cares enough to keep on telling you, do right, do right, do right. When was the last time we tried? We thank God, even for the 7th of August, we had people inviting friends. Praise God for that. We need to keep going. Right, buddy, I'm tired. Jesus was tired on the road to Calvary. Let's be tired for the Lord, amen? I just want to encourage, there's a warning of coming judgment. Number two, there's a warning of not just coming judgment, eternal death. Thou shalt surely die. Not maybe, not possibly, not surely, but 100%. Hell is a terrible place. But Brother Johnny, I don't believe in hell. It doesn't matter what you believe. How many of you believe that there is a country by the name of Timbuktu? Put up your hand. Timbuktu. Have you heard of Timbuktu before? Do you believe it exists? You don't believe it exists, huh? Does it exist, Timbuktu? Doesn't matter whether you believe or not. Listen. Doesn't matter whether you believe Timbuktu exists or not. It does exist. We have enough adult people to vouch for that. Does heaven and hell exist? If heaven and hell doesn't exist, Jesus Christ didn't have to come and die on the cross. He didn't have to waste his precious time to come down and suffer and die for us if hell doesn't exist. There's a warning of eternal death. We as Christians, when we go out, we're not just saving the soul from sin, but we're preserving the eternity of this person. The Bible says, see the soul that sinners, it shall die. It shall die. Ezekiel 18 verse 4, behold, all souls are mine, as the souls of the Father, so also the soul of the Son, and the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Ezekiel 18, 20, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father, neither shall the Father bear the iniquity of the Son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of wickedness shall be upon him. That means everyone is individually responsible for your spiritual state before God. But God wants us to warn them. We have settled our peace with God, amen? Those who have trusted Christ, we are reconciled to God. We have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what I need to do? Go out and tell someone. Because they need to do that too. They need to do that too. In Matthew chapter 25, in verse 46, one of the most fearful verses in the Bible, I believe, and he shall go away into everlasting punishment. Everlasting punishment. It's a time that this soul will forever and ever not see love, not see kindness, not see a smile on the face, not see a handshake, not see someone who will care enough, but all they see is the suffering forever and ever because sin is so terrible. Sin always destroys. Sin has destroyed marriages. Sin has destroyed relationships. Sin has destroyed things. Sin has destroyed families. Sin has destroyed things. Because of our pride and selfishness, sin is destroyed. That's why Jesus came to die for sin. So that we as Christians don't have to hate again. We as Christians don't have to be selfish again. So that we can love. So that families can grow strong. So that we can be reconciled to God. But you know what? The opposite of that is an eternity in hell. There is a warning of hell. In Revelation 20:15, listen to this. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Are you listening? All of us. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Christians, do you believe that? Do you believe that? If you believe that, how are we acting on that? There's a warning of eternal death. And then, in Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 18, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, listen, and thou givest him not warning, nor warnest the wicked to turn from, warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life. Number three, our message is a message of warning to live the life of sin. There's a coming judgment, there's an eternal death, and there's a warning to live a life of sin. Some of us may be in here. The Bible says in Micah chapter 2:10, let me just read, arise, ye, and depart, for this is not your rest. Christians, it was in the youth that I heard this, Brother Desmond was sharing, and said, don't plant roots in this world, because when God calls you, it's very hard to uproot and move where God wants you to move. Many Christians have roots in this world so deeply. They love this world so much that when God calls them, say, God, please give me another day, Ken. Give me a bit more time, Ken, before I go to heaven. God, I want to enjoy this before I see you. I hope there's nothing on your calendar you won't gladly change for the rapture. Amen. When God comes, I hope all of us will say, God, you can change my appointment for the rapture. I'm ready to come. But there's a warning to live the life of sin. What does that mean? It simply means that when we see someone living in wrong, you know, there's this thing about non-judgmentalism. There's this thing about, oh, we don't want to offend people. I think that is a good thing. Amen? We don't live to offend people. But when a person is going to live in sin, make a wrong decision, go down a wrong track, and end up in hell, we will be the most wretched person if we do nothing to stop him. Would you agree? If a person's house is burning and he is in his bed asleep in another room, what would you do? Wake up, and you do all you can, throw things, and wake up, you know? Why are you crazy, guys? There's someone inside. The house is burning. We Christians do nothing to warn the wicked. Our beds are too comfortable for us. Oh, Christians, awake to righteousness. Do the right thing. Because what? You need to get, because do you realize if you move down sin's way, it's only destruction. If you keep disobeying your parents, it's only destruction. God gives us authority to help us live under that, so that we grow up higher, we will be a blessing to our authorities next time. Does that make sense, children? If you learn to obey your parents now, whatever they tell you, when you grow up, you will be a good worker for your boss. And guess who will be blessed? Your boss will be blessed, and the boss in turn will bless you. And you get to live in peace, you work hard. I'm not saying there are no unreasonable bosses, but I think that the principle that God wants us to do is to do the right thing. We need to warn people to live a life of sin. If you're involved in rock music that glorifies Satan, if you're involved in movies and watching movies that glorify things that you know you're not supposed to look at, if you're going involved quietly, without the knowledge of your parents, without the knowledge of anyone, and you're just quietly doing that, you're living a life of sin, you need to get rid of that. You know why? It will destroy you. Mark it down. Sin is only pleasure for a season. You enjoy it. Brother Johnny, don't stop my enjoyment. I won't stop your enjoyment. But if it's going to interfere with your spiritual destiny, as pastor, I have every duty to warn you. And I hope you will take note of that. It's not just about, I don't like to come to church. Every time I come to church, I feel guilty. You may want to ask, why do you feel guilty? The wicked fleeth when no man pursueth. Why are you, they call it singly yokwe, there's a ghost inside your heart. In other words, your conscience is pricking you. Perhaps, maybe just God just saying, get right. Get right. Do the right thing. Some years ago, there was a railroad, there was a fearful railroad wreck. That means there was and nowadays there's a lot of this road, but in America, there was this train loaded with young people on a train track. And somehow, it was stalled. It means it cannot actually move. It was stuck there. And it couldn't move. And there were a lot of children in there. And the other train was coming. And the flagman was there. And to warn the engineer to avert a rear-end collision. And you know, Later on, when the crowd realized everything was fine, you know, they started to laugh. They were still on a train. There's an oncoming train coming. And the children inside were just laughing and just enjoying themselves and all that. Later on, suddenly the whistle of a limited big train coming was heard. And it went on and it smashed into the train in front, killing all the children inside. The engineer realized he jumped up, saved himself. In the court, he was asked, "Didn't you see the engineer was running, the driver of the omnibus? Didn't you see the flag man waving?" He said, "I saw him, but he waved a yellow flag, which means it was okay to go." And then you took off. So because he saw the yellow flag, because the red flag means danger, yellow flag means it's okay. But he saw a yellow flag. And then after that, the lawyer asked the flagman, "Which flag did you raise?" "I raised the same red flag." "Are you sure it's red?" "Absolutely." You know what they found? The red flag, over time, because it hasn't been used, looked like yellow from afar. And when the flagman was thinking he was flagging the red flag, through time, the color faded and looked like yellow to the oncoming train, which smashed and killed the children in there. Is your gospel faded in your life? Is your testimony faded in your life? When you wave the flag, say, "Come on, come to, you can go to heaven through Jesus Christ," and all your friends see is a faded gospel that has no power. Christians, we need to be aware. You know what? Our third point. Firstly, is our duty. Number two is our message. Number three, our responsibility. You know, this is one of the most fearful ones. And you know, Brother Johnny, on the National Day message, I thought, you know, our PM Lee is more encouraging than you. He has to. But you know what? I hope we will be ready for this point, because in Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 18, the last part says, I'll just read the whole verse, "Thou shalt surely die. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die. Thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life. The same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. Note our responsibility. But his blood will I require at thine hand." You know, I don't know about you, that's a very solemn, solemn responsibility. God told Ezekiel, "You need to do your job. Because if someone doesn't hear, or someone you have an opportunity to, somehow when God opens it up..." I'm not saying you have to reach everyone, you see. I'm not saying that. We can't. It's virtually impossible, and God knows that. But God is saying, those people whom you have influence over, those people who is related to you, those people whom you can make time and go and see, are you doing that? If there's opportunities to do something for Christ, to reach someone, are we doing that? Because God says this, if you don't tell them, they will die in their sin. God says, "I'm going to require his blood at your hands." I know, every Christian will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ one day. Every non-believer will stand before Christ. There's two judgments at the end of life. For the Christian, it's the judgment seat of Christ, where all Christians will receive for the reward that they have done in their lives. Your sin will never be mentioned. I'm fully convinced of that. You know why? Because your sin was judged at the cross. Amen. Once and for all, washed away by God's grace, never to be brought up again. Your standing at the judgment seat will be how reflective of how your love for Jesus Christ has been ever since he saved you at the cross. And when you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, say, "God, I didn't do anything much. But God, what I can do, I'll do for you. And God will say, well done. That is the first judgment for Christians. There's a second judgment where Christians will not be at. That is called the Great White Throne Judgment. The Great White Throne Judgment in Revelation chapter 20 will have every single one in this world, in the history of man that have ever lived, from Adam all the way to the last man that will ever be born, they will stand at the judgment, Great White Throne Judgment. Those people who have never trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior will stand at the judgment seat. Sorry, will stand at the Great White Throne Judgment. If you never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, you will be standing there. But Brother Johnny, what about those people who were eaten? I mean, Titanic, for example, many people were drowned. Over the years, many people were drowned. There's a Chinese custom whereby after you die, you want to be cremated so that your ashes can be thrown on the water. You know what that talks about? No hope. Listen, every ash that is thrown on the water, God is going to bring back to face Him at the judgment seat. Because God says, the sea shall give up the dead. And God's going to say, see, let's have everyone. Even those in MH370, whom they claim, you'll never find the bodies because the fishes will eat them. But even in that situation, God's going to say, see, give up the dead. Everyone on MH370 who perished, who are not a Christian, will be brought together to meet God at that Great White Throne Judgment. And when we maybe I'm not a Christian and I stand there before God at Great White Throne, and then I say, God, it's not fair for me to send me to hell. I say, why not? You sin, right? Yeah, I sin. But no one told me of this place. No one told me you're going to judge me. And God, I live near colleagues. I work with colleagues who are Christians, but all they do is laugh at my dirty jokes. All they do is complain about the boss to me. How am I supposed to know I'm supposed to be judged for my sin? Oh yeah? Who are your colleagues? There? Oh, is that true? Come so and so. Is what you're saying true? This is just my sanctified imagination. But is it possible that one day, when our loved ones stand before God, they will have to say, none of my Christian friends told me about this day. Will a family in Yishun, Sembawang, Marsiling, Woodlands say, I'm not saying we are responsible for every family, but I'm saying, would Ambassador Baptist Church, as a church, shine bright enough that someone who needs spiritual help will call? Because God made us the light. Singapore will continue to thrive. I'm sure our leaders, I'm thankful, our leaders are dedicated, amen, to make sure we strive economically. But can I say this? Economics and financial prosperity is not the deciding factor in the stability of a nation. Righteousness is. Because God said so. And the only institutions that will promote God-given, heavenly-inspired, biblical righteousness are God's people willing to live what God has put in their hearts, in their families, in their churches, in their workplaces, in their schools, and in the community. And unless we are willing to say, God, I hear from your word that sin is a reproach to any people, a disgrace, a shame. I'm going to put away sin from my life for the sake of my family, my church, the people I live with, work with, so that they can have an opportunity to know Jesus as their personal Savior. You know, as Singaporeans, we've got much to thank God for. When you leave this place, all of us will go for lunch. Amen? There are some Christians of this world who, when they leave the church, can face potential death and may not know when they're going to eat the next time. God has blessed Singapore. God has blessed us as Christians for a reason, so that we can give. Freely ye have received, freely give. Whatever God gives us is not for our own. We are instruments by which God will dispense His grace and love. When we choose in our own will to keep what God has blessed us with and be unwilling to give of our love, our mercy, the heart that God gives us, whether it's finances, whether it's our time, whether it's our abilities, and we keep it all for our self-glorification and building up, very soon, the Bible says, he that keeps for himself will soon find he will lose it. But the more we give, the more God will give us, because he can trust us to give. In Ezekiel 22, verse 30, I just end with this. At the end of a whole chapter of highlighting the sin of Israel, God said this, and I sought for a man. God says, I'm looking for a man. I'm looking for a man among them that would make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land that I should not destroy it. Israel, in Ezekiel, time was going to be destroyed. And God says, I'm just looking for one man. One man. Just one person to be willing to stand in the gap. One person who's willing to pray. Just one person who's willing to take the responsibility and do something about sin. Do something about telling. Do something about sharing. God is looking for that one man in the family. Some of us may say, my family is a mess. I don't want to do anything about it. You know what I need to do? God, my family is about to be destroyed. I will be that man. Sometimes we always point our finger at everyone else. But God says, I'm looking for a man to heal that relationship. Sometimes in the family, in an organization like a church, maybe it's something out there that you are grappling with in your colleagues or something that is stopping God from doing something and things are going to get bad. You know what God's saying? I'm looking for a man or a woman. Someone who is willing to allow God to move through. And I can tell you, if you will just be that man, God can use you mightily. And Naren Judson, mentioned before, I mentioned again, was one man who went to Myanmar 7 years, did not have one convert. He was in prison for his faith. His wife was begging the British to help release him. No, they won't help him. When he was in prison, the prisoners looked at him and laughed, said, where is your God? What is your future like in Myanmar? You know what Adoniram Judson said? My future is as bright as God's promises. You know, 100 years later, every Myanmar church in Myanmar today knows the name of Adoniram Judson. Did you know that? And every Christian in Myanmar knows the church in Myanmar attributes its spread and growth to Adoniram Judson. One man willing to sacrifice all for the nation of Myanmar. Dale Moody was praying, God, I need your power. He couldn't find it and he was looking everywhere. He heard a message one time that God can fill you with the Holy Spirit and he was able to preach. And Dale Moody said, God is looking for a man that will do mighty work for him. By God's grace, I will be that man. And by the grace of God and his complete surrender to Christ, he shook two continents, American and England, for God. And today, we are still quoting him. Why? He being dead, yet speaketh. The only way that is possible is through the power of the Holy Spirit. Families, dads and moms, listen to me. Will your children still be praising your name? Because of the faith you have given to them when you were around. That when you leave, the reason why they will leave the faith is because as father and mother,
we have lived to please Jesus Christ. And the faith is not only imitated, it is indwelled. And teenagers, you are responsible for your own faith as you see your parents live the faith. Singapore, will Singapore be as prosperous spiritually in SG 100? Will you still, I'm targeting the younger people, will you still be living for Jesus Christ in SG 100? Oh, Brother Johnny, not fair, that's very long. Some of the brethren here has been Christians for 30, 40 years. Will you still be faithful at your deathbed, giving praise to Jesus Christ? God has called us to be watchmen. You know, we can work hard for our careers, nothing wrong with that. But you know, Christians, all our prosperity can be gone in a day. Singapore's independence was gone in less than a week. When Singapore was supposed to be the what? Impregnable fortress, right? We have all our cannons facing the wrong way. Singapore fell. You know why? I'm not glorifying Lee Kuan Yew, but he said one thing very true. If we don't see the need to defend ourselves, then he says, we have lost. If as Christians we don't see our need to share the gospel of God's glorious love with another hellbound sinner, Bethel Baptist Church will only have 10, 20 years. The next generation will be gone. If you as teenagers do not see the need to go out soul winning and have a heart for the people out there, and Bethel Baptist Church will have 20 years maximum. And this church will go downhill. The moment we start thinking about ourselves as a church, that is the time we start dying. And may God make Ambassador Baptist Church a selfless church, a giving church, because our God in heaven, the Savior that we love, praise God, is a giving Savior. And He gave everything. Ambassador Baptist Church, let's honor God. Let's pray for our leaders so that in the next 50 years, we will still have Ambassador Baptist Church around. Let's pray. Lord, I pray, in this time of great celebration, I pray, Lord, this time of great celebration and of the prosperity we have in Singapore, Lord, I'm asking that you work out your plan in Ambassador's life of how it should impact the society and the people around, one soul at a time. Lord, I thank you for the many people who are here, and maybe for the first time they are hearing. As a church, we are so responsible for the people around. And God, I know that you do not hold us responsible for every single soul. But Lord, you do expect us to work on the people whom you have given to us. To those you have brought to us by your grace. Father, I pray for all of us, even as we'll be singing, Lord, how, Lord, you are moving. God, you are working your purpose out. Lord, I pray. You help us, Lord, even in this short invitation to reflect. With eyes closed, heads bowed, let me just ask you, eyes closed, heads bowed. If you're here today, and God has touched your heart for being a watchman, you enjoy the prosperity that we have in Singapore, but is our flag still red, or has it faded? And you're saying, God, I don't want my flag to fade, because Lord, I may just need it at a time when someone needs Christ. You're saying, Brother Johnny, pray for me. I have decided to make sure my flag is always red. I'm weak, I don't know much, but I want to grow so that God can use me to be a red flag. Is there someone like that? Just put up your red hand up, and I'll pray for you. Amen. I see the hand. Put it up, put it down. Amen. I see that hand too. Praying, I'll be praying for you that your flag will remain red. Is there someone else? Just pull up your right hand and put it down and pray in your heart that I will be the red flag. Is there someone else? All right, can I just ask you one more question? If you are here, you do not know Jesus Christ. Can I just let you know? The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Without Jesus Christ, we will be in a place of eternal punishment. It's not a scare tactic. It's just the truth. But you know, the Lord Jesus Christ says, I don't want you to go there. That's why he gave his perfect life to die on the cross. His perfect life. He died on a cross so that his blood can be shed to wash away our sins. And you're saying, Brother Johnny, I've never heard that before. But if someone like him is willing to die for me, even though I don't deserve it because of my sin, I want to accept Christ as my Savior. Is there someone like that who said, maybe you've heard this many times, and maybe today you're saying, look, I want to stop running away. I just need to come to Jesus Christ as God works in my heart. Is there someone like that? Just put up your right hand. I'll get someone to share the gospel with you. We will not force you. Even after that, if you feel you're not ready, we're not going to force you, but we are begging you to at least give God an opportunity to share his words of love and life with you. Is there someone like that? Put up your right hand. I'll pray for you. You are in the presence where people love you and care for you. Is there someone like that? All right, Father, I pray for every Christian who has put up their hand. Lord, I pray. I sincerely pray that their flags will remain red for the rest of their lives. That God, they will constantly, by your grace, help them to change from glory to glory. That, Father, they will see the relevance of their life, their church membership, their Christian life, that their friends may see. Lord, they may not save all, but I pray, our job is not to save all. Our job is to, by God's grace, be a testimony to add to the evidence of your love to the people around. And I'm praying, Father, for these fathers who have made a decision, these Christians who have put up their hands, I pray you use them in a mighty way. Dear Lord, we know our prosperity is because of the righteousness that you find in Singapore. The righteousness of allowing Israeli leaders to come. The righteousness that perhaps, probably you will find in many of the churches who strive by your grace to do the right thing. Many churches all spread throughout the land of Singapore that they strive and they pray for the nation. They have a heart for the souls. And through this, Lord, you exalt the nation. But God, on the other hand, we also see the rising storm of the sinful crowd, the LGBT movement, Lord, the radicalism, the abortion. Father, we pray for your grace on Ambassador that you keep us faithful and holy for you, that the Lord Jesus Christ will be the name we praise and exalt, that your word is the only word we preach, and the attitude we have is only Christ's love. And Father, we will be quick to forgive those who offend us. That Father, you will constantly find righteousness in the people that you find an ambassador, in the people who choose to live for you. Lord, even as we sing the closing hymn, I pray, you keep working in our hearts. We'll thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.